This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Gary, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Where in the world are you today?
New York City.
New York, downtown. Nice. I love it. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. Thank you for asking. And you?
Yeah, it was very restful. We just, just burrowed down in the house, just me and the family, you know.
That's awesome, Nick.
I know that you've kind of not been traveling much over the last month or so. You take some time off.
Yeah, I mean, not time off, but no travel because of COVID, which is, you know, wildly rare for me.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it.
Nice. I love it. Well, and did you have a recent birthday or did I see the wrong post?
No, recent, November 14th, not too long ago.
Love it. Love it. Well, happy belated birthday. We're going to jump right in, but we were trying to get some questions for our community, and the weirdest question that I think I got was, who is Gary Vee?
I love it.
So makes me happy. I thought I would just start with that. Who's Gary Vee?
Gary Vee is an immigrant businessman from the former Soviet Union who had the great fortune of starting in such humble beginnings of immigrant life with remarkably hardworking parents who really conditioned me to understand work ethics variable, but also mothered in a way that kindness and compassion and empathy really took a precedent, who was a natural born, you know, entrepreneur, lemonade stands, baseball cards, shoveling snow, you know, washing cars, who launched one of the first e-commerce wine businesses in America, built a large business for his parents, moved on and became an early investor in Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, you know, Uber, Bitcoin, Coinbase, did a lot of smart decisions in his career and was a prolific content creator at the right time and went on to write five New York Times bestsellers, built a, you know, 1,200 person marketing infrastructure around a company called VaynerX, started a sports representation business with his brother, and is 45 years old and genuinely believes in his soul that he hasn't even started yet.
Nice. I love that. I love it. Favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory. I had a lemonade stand on Oak Tree Road in 1985 and a kid was riding a 10-speed bike, right? The bigger ones, right? Is that what's called 10-speed? And he pulled over and he asked us to fill up his lemonade, water bottle, one of those old Gatorade 1980s bottles, right? Plastic. And he said, how much to fill this up? But I think we were selling lemonade for 10 cents a cup. And I think I said a dollar. And he gave me a $10 bill and he said, keep the change. And it completely was like game changing for me and genuinely one of my favorite childhood memories. That or SummerSlam. I had a sleepover party for SummerSlam when Macho Man and Hogan tag teamed together. That's way, way up there. Going to Walt Disney World with my mom and sister, one of only two vacations I took as a kid, was a big, big, big deal when I was 10. Those things stand out.
Yeah. Now, I know that your mom and dad had a liquor store growing up. What were some of the struggles that you remember them going through and how did that impact you?
I don't remember it at all. It was normal. You know, I didn't see anything. Like we didn't value, I never had to worry about food. You know, there was nothing ever that's crazy. And we didn't value anything else, right? The struggles were more high class problems. Like we didn't go on family vacations and almost every piece of clothes I wore was liquor store t-shirts, right? And you know, like they were things that people would conceive as, you know, struggles, but they were our norm, right? Like Red Lobster being a fancy big event for us to go out to, one could look and be like, oh, you know, wow. Yeah, for me, it seemed, I don't know, when I was in it, I was like, we're going to Red Lobster. This is insane. This is the best, you know? So I think I remember none. My dad, I mean, you know, one would say me not seeing my father for the first 15 years of my life, you know, because he worked all the time is bad. And I would agree. But at the time, you didn't know. You just knew your norm, no different than divorced parents or, even worse, somebody losing a parent. Like when it's your norm, it's your norm. And I had the happiest childhood on earth. So the answer is nothing.
What, at what age did you start going in and helping out with the family business?
14, 1989. When I was 14, I bagging ice, dusting the shelves, a couple Saturdays here. Summer, that summer vacation in between eighth and ninth grade is when I really started getting in there. So 14 was when it really, you know, that's when it really happened.
What's the best year of your life so far?
This year.
Why?
I'm just incredibly, great follow-up question. And so simple. I'm incredibly about today. I love yesterday. I love reminiscing. I love learning from the past. I can't wait for next year. I love the future. But I'm extremely passionate about the present. And I really love the year that's in front of me. Even if it's a challenging year like 2020, even if it's a challenging year like 1982. But I really, really like the year I'm in always. I will say, to be fair, 1999 was pretty fucking epic. Because I graduated college in 1998, May of 98. 1999 was my first full year of being out of school. And I took my dad's business that year from 4.5 to 12 million in revenue. I just crushed, you know, like kind of like a Kobe, LeBron, like first year I fucking talked it. I was going to be the guy and I came out and performed. And it was, I hated school. So it was so cool to live a year where I didn't have to go to school. It was like, whoa, this is insane.
Right, right.
And I enjoyed it and I was on fire. And I probably at that point, 10 years, 14, 15, 16, nah, let's be 6 years of pent up. I'm going to do this thing. And I just came guns a-blazing and dismantled it.
Did you have a lot of like, this is what I want to do. And I think this is what's going to happen. Or did you just, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to go do.
No, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to be the greatest of all time. Like, this is like, I believe it right now. Like, you know, I sit here and I'm like, okay, I put a lot of W's on the board. Some of the biggest W's I've had selling Resy, which I was a co-founder of, are things that people don't even know about me, right? You know, Empathy Wines, I wasn't that crazy over the top loud about the acquisition. Coinbase investment. There's like a lot of my business wins are not the, you know, it's funny. I talk a lot about myself as a case study to try to help people win, yeah, more so than talking about my wins. And so I'm winning in happiness and business, but I really think of my career as only 22 years, right? I'm basically 22 years of not being a business, 22 years of being business is kind of where I'm at, 22 and a half, I'm right there. And I say to myself, my God, in 22 years, I'll be 67. I think that's a young man in the scheme of things. You know, it's starting to get to that next chapter, but like 60, I think you're in the, like, I'm really in the game at 60. I'm like exactly like I am right now.
Right.
So 67, that means I have a whole, like from zero, from the day I walked in, like, hey dad, I'm going to really blow this up to this second, right? Where you think it's funny that a question is like, who's Gary? Like it was funny that you start this interview with one of the coolest questions with who's Gary V. That was a really fun moment for me because what you're saying to me is a very flattering thing, which is like, people should know who this person is. I'm still in the place of like pinching myself of like, I can't believe that he thinks that everyone should know me. That's so nice. Oh my God. Yet, what I'm going to do the next 22 off this foundation is insanity.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just really excited to be frank.
All right. I'm going to do something really fun. And if you'll allow me, I know that you do the underrated overrated.
Yes.
All right. So I've got some words and I want you to give me it straight. iPhone.
Overrated.
Google Ads.
Underrated.
Facebook.
Underrated.
Netflix.
Underrated.
New York Jets.
Properly rated.
Craigslist.
Underrated.
Family.
Grossly underrated.
The PS5.
properly rated.
Direct mail.
Overrated.
Coffee.
Overrated.
Billboards.
Overrated.
All right, that's it on that.
Billboards and direct mail are overrated because there's so many things you could do with that money to make the business thing that you want happen. As a matter of fact, Facebook and direct mail were so fun as overrated, underrated, because I still do direct mail occasionally, testing for my dad's business.
Right.
You'll get a return on your investment, but if you really understand how to do Facebook ads, you will dramatically do better for your local business than direct mail, and it won't even be close.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a huge Facebook fan. Yeah.
Facebook's wildly underrated.
Do you think it's slipping right now?
It's slipping for 25 to 38-year-old attention.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to run ads against 52-year-olds, you'll dismantle it.
Yeah.
If you want to sell premium wine to 50-year-olds, you'll crush on Facebook.
Yeah. I was watching your video just yesterday that you did the interview with Barbara Corcoran. And yep. I don't know if I just missed it or what, but I didn't realize that you had such a background in kind of that traditional marketing, you know, the direct mail and.
Yeah, I think my career kind of like evolved in a way that people are so synonymous with, like, you know, he built his dad business using social media, which is true with YouTube and Twitter, but that was already at a mature state compared to full page ads and print and what you saw in that Barbara interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did that make you think or feel or what?
I just always thought of you as the digital guy. And, you know, when you started talking that you said, you know, I cut my chops in with direct mail, and I was just like kind of mind blown. That wasn't on my radar. I always thought of you as YouTube and then, you know, Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that other stuff, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Another fun question. You've just been made an action figure. What are your two accessories?
I love that. An iPhone, even though I just said it was overrated. I can go into that later if you want. And a super extra battery pack for energy.
Do you ever get tired?
Yes, but boy, do I have a lot of natural energy, and that's been a competitive advantage in a lot of ways, but I think it comes from enjoyment and gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, forget about energy. What about lack of anxiety? You know, I think the reason I have so much energy is because of the lack of anxiety. Right? Because when you're anxious, yeah. And I get anxious, everyone does, but it slows you down because you're in your thoughts and you're slow.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear, worry. There's such a small percentage of my time allocated to fear and worry that I think it then manifests offense. I always tell people that I want to win, if I'm in business and I'm comparing it to football, I'm trying to win football games 86 to 57, which are unheard of football scores for everybody that doesn't know football. It's such pure offense, and I'm okay with all the downside of defense. See, it's a very, I didn't say 86 to zero. Yeah. Notice the score I just gave you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm comfortable in micro losses by the hour, by the day. I'm a net guy. I'm going to juggle 49 balls. 16 are going to fall. I don't care if you're like, hey, Gary, but why did Cork, your wine social network, fail? I'm like, because I was juggling too much balls, and Lindsay, my amazing partner, just wasn't strong enough yet, and I didn't mentor her strong enough, and we lost.
Yeah.
And for me, that's like, meh.
Right.
But for other people, it's like, oh, I gotta hide from this loss. Like, I don't give a shit what people think about my scarlet letter.
Yeah.
That's my loss. What the hell does that have to do with you?
What advice do you give the people that deal with the stress?
I apologize real quick. I just need to drill this line for myself. Muhammad Ali lost 5-6 times.
Yeah.
people need to start thinking about business the way they think about sports. There is no undefeated.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I wanted to ask, so when people are in that worry state and fear, like they've just got one business, right? And it's the one thing, if that one thing fails, how should people overcome that fear?
By realizing that if their business goes out of business, they'll get a job. Like, you've got to put this into context. Scenario A, your business triples this year, but your child gets cancer. Scenario B, you lose your business and you get a job. I just don't think people have good perspective. I really, being very frank with you, you know, I really genuinely believe that, Nick. Like, I want people to bring things back to basics. Health and wellness of the people you love. Everything else you can figure out. What's going to happen? You're going to have to sell your house and get a smaller house. You're going to have to trade in your Hummer. I don't, you know what?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got to move back in with your parents, with your kids. Ooh, very shameful. To who? What's going to happen? Your sister's going to make fun of you? Your best friend's going to say you're a loser? Like, what? You'll get over it. Take the fear out. I have a funny feeling once you put that perspective in, you'll be more clear-minded to make the right decisions to save your business than if you're scared of your shadow.
Yeah. Gary, what's your superpower?
The lack of judgment on myself. And big shout out to Tom Bellew. He said it to me while he was on my podcast. He's like, you know what your superpower is, Gary? And I'm all excited. I'm like, what? I think thought it'd be something that I've thought about a lot. And he said, you don't judge yourself. And I'm like, that's so interesting. I hold myself accountable. I want to be a good man, but I don't beat myself up. And I think it's funny that you asked that question off the answer I just gave, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm a human. I'm going to take losses. I'm not an undefeated businessman. There are none. Like,
right.
Right?
Yeah. And you actually talk about, you like the struggle. You like it when you're losing.
I do. I think it's cool. It motivates me. I'm the kind of like, that's why I like following the Jets and the Knicks. I enjoy the process. I dumped the Yankees and Rangers after they won a championship. I'm obsessed with the Jets. I'm a big Knicks fan. You know, like I love the journey more than the championship. I really do. It's why I think I'm unbeatable. How do you beat someone that's not scared of losing?
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, everyone, I think people are afraid of that failure thing. But that's where we learn.
Forget about the learning, which is absolutely true. Why do you care what the newspapers or the crowd is going to say about you? Right? It's like sports. When the home team in basketball gives up a 20-0 run to start the game and the timeout's called, the whole place is booing. If you're unable to not hear that, then you can't play basketball. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're unable to deal with people laughing at you when you made a mistake or making fun of you when your business went out of business, well, then you're not for this game.
Yeah.
Or you're going to build something very small because you made it safe.
Right.
And you didn't push yourself, and then you're going to regret it, and you're going to get passive and bored.
So a couple days ago, I was doing some just reflecting on all of the things I've heard you talk about. I've listened to you. I have to admit, Gary, I'm one of those guys that you talk about that didn't like you in the beginning.
Is that right? Tell me. I'm interested in that.
I just thought you were all hype, and
did you have people that were so into me that you were like, ugh, like, or was it more that you just were seeing me in your stream and it was just the energy was too much?
Yeah, and a lot of people were talking about you, and I don't like hype. And
you know, totally get it.
And you know where you got me?
Please.
And you're going to love this because I know you love this platform, LinkedIn.
Mm.
You just kept showing up. Mm. And finally, I'm like, all right. I literally remember thinking, all right, I'm going to watch one of these damn videos.
Mm.
And then I wanted to watch another one and another one and another one. And so in thinking about that, I just wanted to bring up some words that I know you talk about a lot, and I wanted you to share with our community some of your thoughts on them. Legacy.
I mean, I would argue that if somebody really pushed me and said North Star, like suffocating you, North Star, what is your North Star? I would say my funeral. I really would. I'm just genuinely trying to live a life that stuns the shit out of my grandkids on why did all these people show up? I really, and I mean, no matter how big or hyped I get, that even with that, that it's not my fans who made money off of or got happier. It's like people that I touched along. Like, I'm more proud of what I do behind the scenes by a country mile compared to everything you know. Mm-hmm. That random donation to GoFundMe, buying this piece of art from an employee that we fired, and I want to jumpstart her next career. Hmm. Like real stuff.
Yeah.
Real stuff. And so I basically only live for my legacy. I would argue, if you ask me, here's 100 beans, fame and money, legacy, allocate them, Gary. 96 beans to legacy, 4 to fame and money. I think that when you're 96 beans to legacy and you're talented, the other two tend to work out.
Yeah. The next one I love you talk about is regret.
Yeah. Big driver for me. I love old people. There's no other way to say it. I spent a lot of time with old people as a kid. Used to be the kind of kid that would go to the playground, see somebody's grandfather was visiting, and literally leave the playing, go sit with the grandfather. Hey, where were you when John F. Kennedy died? When you got a TV for the first time, what'd you do? Man on the moon, Reagan getting shot. Loved to ask old people about history and humans. Now it all makes sense to me. Oh, I'm an anthropologist, actually. That happens to do all of this stuff. So learned a lot in those first 15, 20 years of my life where I really sought out wisdom. Don't know if I'm an old soul. Don't know if I'm an old man reincarnated, but always gravitated towards the elderly. Found them extremely valuable to me. And really did a lot of good stuff in seeing true pain in people's eyes and realized the only thing I don't want to do is talk about the things that I wish I did.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's very heavy when you regret. It's really not fun. It stinks.
Do you have any regret today?
You know, I probably regret not having a little more fun as a kid. Call it 17 to 25. Yeah, I have regret of that. I think I just went to 100 on business. I regret not meeting the Macho Man Randy Savage. One of my best friends in college, Tokyo Joe Minakawa, his mom passed away the first year or two after college, and something I don't remember, and either this is me trying to protect myself or I genuinely can't remember, but I missed her funeral because I missed the phone call, and it was early cell stuff, and I don't remember, but I regret that quite a bit.
I just to share something with you, the reason why we pulled you in to this was because I had an opportunity through networking and people that I know to connect with you. And I was on the fence going back and forth, and I thought, I may never have this chance again, and I don't want to regret it. I literally had that thought. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
And the last word I want you to just chat up about real quick is patience.
You know, because I'm so high energy, because I'm so over the top, some of the stuff you saw in the feed and you're like, forget this guy, right? This has really confused people the last 3 years because I've gotten louder about it because I've noticed how much it's missing in people's formula, ingredients. patience is my strength. I mean, I knew I was a superstar. I'm just gonna be, you know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I knew who I was. And I worked in my dad's business from 22 to 34, 15 hours a day, built a monster business with him, and then left and started over with nothing, you know, outside of the ownership of the land, which, you know, is in perpetuity to the family. Like, just didn't have assets, didn't have money. And because I was patient, I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it after the fact that I had time, that I was 34. I mean, I started this with patience. I basically talked about my youth at 45 years old in the beginning of this interview, right? I'm very slow and calculated. I stood up a new business today called Vayner Talent, you know, to represent people, influencers. And everyone's like, what have you been waiting for? This is the most obvious thing. I'm like, I was baking. I was being patient. I always say that I'm a tortoise in a hare's outfit. You know, I look fast.
Yeah.
I look fast. But inside, in real life, if you look carefully at what I've been doing, pure patience. I'm a big believer in it. I think lack of patience leads to bad decision-making, which leads to losing.
Yeah. Well, as you know, our audience is paint contractors.
Yes.
First off, I just want to know, have you ever hired a paint contractor?
Oh yeah. you know, we renovated Wine Library many times. Mm-hmm. You know, we've put up offices for Vayner. I sure have.
Any good or bad experiences that stick out?
You know, it's a really good question. My brain started thinking, like, what do I know about those situations? Not really, because my dad and my brother in both those scenarios really handled it. I tend to be like, everything's good. Like even if somebody did a poor painting job, I wouldn't understand it. So they try to keep me away from things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so paint contractor has $500 a month for marketing. What should they be doing with it?
$500 a month. Google AdWords for sure. For sure. Probably, you know, $500 a month. Google AdWords for sure for $250. Very narrow, long tail search queries localized to their area.
Yeah.
I need a painter in, you know, Edison, New Jersey. Enter. Right? Long tail, not New Jersey. You gotta add the Edison part, you know? I'd probably hire an intern for minimum wage in your state to film and edit some LinkedIn content. So that would probably be the other $250. I mean, we're going real, you know, it's funny. I lived this marketing life. So I know it. I like that. I love your question. That would be what I do. I'd probably spend $250 on Google AdWords for the month. And I'd probably try to milk 10 to 15 hours out of minimum wage at a kid who wants to learn the craft of videoing and posting. And I would probably post on LinkedIn I'd probably start a Facebook group saying home. I would probably call it Home Improvement Edison, New Jersey, or Home Improvement New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'd go a little more broad, you know,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're B2B, you know, like construction or standing up, like go pretty narrow. And I even though I was in the Edison, New Jersey, I'd probably go Jersey, just make a bigger group because it'd be too narrow for a Facebook group. But I'd probably stand up a Facebook group and pay a kid $250 a month to make a couple of videos to post in that group.
Yeah. What's the biggest opportunity in digital marketing today? For a small business, not big business. We got to talk.
Yep,
small
I know who everybody is here. LinkedIn organic content and TikTok. Making TikTok videos with your young kids, with your employees. If you're just a silly painting contractor, you just might go viral and not believe what could happen to your life. And so when you have no money in your small business, what you wanna look for is organic content opportunities. AKA you post, nobody knows, you're Jim the painter, nobody on earth knows who you are, and your first TikTok video gets 87 views, even though you have no followers, because that's the way TikTok works. It just shows up by interests, not by you have followers. Same with LinkedIn. You'll just get 100 people or 1,000 people. On both those platforms, your third video called 6 Tips to Paint Yourself, where you're showing information trying to help people who can't even afford you. Think about that, bringing value to them, not you, could go viral and can start changing your life. That's incredible in my opinion.
Yeah, I got one of our other guests on here was talking about TikTok, but I saw her presentation like 8 months ago and she was talking about TikTok. I went on that night, we went out to dinner and I posted a TikTok and it went viral. My first one, million views.
No.
But it has nothing to do with painting and I have no idea. Okay. That's okay.
It's okay. It's beyond okay, especially if you put your painting company in your URL.
Of TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay, I just put Nick May Denver.
You did in the, you know how you can link to a URL like you know
yeah, in the profile.
You know, that's right. Did you do that when you posted it, or did you post it before you updated your profile?
I did it before I updated the profile.
So to me, here's why. You know, when you look at mine right now, right?
Yep.
And you can see that little link, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, if they loved your video that had nothing to do with your, you know, business, but three of the 510 people of the million that clicked your profile told their aunt who was looking for painting or whatever, you know, oh, it's incredible. Awareness is awareness.
Yeah. What's the best way for people to learn how to use TikTok?
Searching Google and YouTube for information. Literally typing in, how do I use TikTok as a painter? Enter.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you know, it's funny. I'm usually on stage for these things. How to use TikTok as a painter. Now, obviously, there's different painters. I mean, here it is. Here's a blog post from March 20th, a guide to TikTok for visual artists, Renaissance painting trends on TikTok, how to use TikToks for artists, how to use Renaissance paintings, how to make illustrations if you're a painter. I mean, like, it's all here.
Yeah.
I believe this is a game of intent, not a game of learning the skill. If you intend to be serious and believe in what we're talking about, which 98% are listening right now are not, like, screw these two guys. I'm not doing a TikTok. I have a painting. What is the, you know, like, I get it. I grew up in family. Like, you have, like, you know what's fun when I do? Why do I like this keynote way more than my fancy ones? Because I know this audience. I grew up in the streets, in the dirt. I know small business. I am small. Like, I know them.
Right.
I also know it's why I came from small business and I'm going to buy the New York Jets. Like, I know the steps. So I'm just looking for the 2% here who are curious and realize the world's changing and realizing why not is always a better answer than no.
Right.
Actually, you know what? I've never said that. I'm actually right now tweeting that. Why not is always a better answer than no. Yep. Right?
You know, yeah. Like if no, you're absolutely.
Sitting in the audience,
like,
right?
If let's you're sitting go. In the audience, massive yeah, action.
Like, that's right. If you're sitting in the audience right now, I have empathy and compassion and understanding why you're like, damn, I can't wait till they get past this TikTok. It's a waste of time. I'm not doing it. You said no, which is a much worse answer than why not?
Yeah. Why not try?
Why not?
Yeah.
Affirming that it's a no is better than sitting here. By the way, it happened to you. If you said why not to Gary V, you might have gotten three more years of insights and advantages, but you said no. And then you said why not?
Yeah.
Because by the way, when you said no all those times, the 40 other times you said it about people like me, you were right. They are scam artists. I mean it.
I know. There's a lot of them out there. Yeah. So I know today a lot of people are saying, they see, you know, some of the stuff that we do and, you know, people are, why are you wasting your time on TikTok? Why are you doing podcasts? Why are you doing all these things, right? I'm assuming you got that when you were doing Wine Library.
Everything.
In the beginning with the videos.
I got it when I stood up a website in 1996. Everybody told my dad that they were crazy for he was crazy for letting me build a website because the internet's a fad.
Yes, I remember those days.
My dad lost his mind. I was a dominant direct mail marketer. And then I said, Dad, I'm taking the direct mail money and I'm putting it into Google Ads. He's like, what are you talking about? Then everybody thought I lost my mind when I started the Wine Library videos because I was driving a huge business and now I was spending 10 hours a day on this thing called Twitter trying to get people to watch my wine videos.
Yeah.
I've never been told, only now, which sucks, by the way, back to me liking the Jets and Knicks. Do you know what the biggest thing I don't like now is? My reputation's gaining. And so now I could be like, I mean, this baseball card thing really fucked me up. Because the reason it worked so well was nobody, for everybody, I've been talking about sports cards going up for 3 years. And when I tell you, everybody laughed at me in my face 3 years ago, my smartest friends, the one that believed in me the most, my brother and best friend and sister and best friends took no action the first 8 year. Like, that's how much people didn't believe me. That's been enjoyable because you know, yesterday a Mickey Mantle rookie sold for $5.2 million. A Michael Jordan rookie card has gone up from 10,000 to 280,000 in this time. I've become historically correct about this, but almost everything I've come up with, my friend, has been met with negativity.
How do you, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you, how do you identify those things that are coming? Because it's just the amount, I know you read a lot, you watch what's going on in social media. Is that it? Just constantly and consuming?
Yes, but it's like Clive Davis. Like, he's constantly consuming music back in the day, but he had the ear. Mm-hmm. I have the ear.
Right.
That's what, you know, and I say that like, all right, and you know, some people are beautiful and some can jump high. Like, I put an obnoxious amount of work, comma, I'm naturally intuitive in filtering, will humans do this or not? And more importantly, at what time? So for example, 5 years ago, I'm like, to all my friends, I'm like, VR is not gonna work. It's not ready. But now I'm starting to be like, there's something brewing with VR. This new Oculus has some softwares and executions on it that have people do, like, something's brewing. And in 3 years, you're gonna see me on LinkedIn being like, where is your VR strategy? So that's what I'm good at, timing.
Yeah.
It's not just this is gonna happen, it's timing.
Yeah. And then taking action.
Yes, it's a very good point. I don't fear doing new things because if I lose, I know I'm going to learn and I'm going to deploy it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, well, is TikTok going to be like Vine and go away? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like running commercials on big hit shows. You don't care if Seinfeld is going to be canceled one day or is going to stop making a show. While it's hot, you run commercials. Right. I don't care if TikTok's going to be here next year. Could care less. Care less. But while it's got all the attention, I'm executing.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about LinkedIn for 7, 8 years. Crushing It didn't even have LinkedIn in the book. One of my most recent books. But then it turned and I went ham.
Yeah.
I'm a day trader of attention.
And then do you put different content on the different platforms? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes. It may be the same video, but it's edited differently. It's formatted differently. It might be titled differently. And the copy supporting it's completely different.
How many people do you have on staff that help you do all that?
15.
15.
Full time.
Makes me feel better.
Yeah, but you know, what got me to 15 was 7 years solo, just grinding it. Yeah. And then, you know, and so we all get there, right? Like, you get to one person, you get to two people. And really, I really only need six. The reason I have so many is because we train them and then spin them into the machine.
Right.
So they become this, they become that.
Do we have six? Do we have six here? Is that six people? Yeah, we got that. All right, we're good.
Good number.
We're going to go.
Here's how I would have a leader. I would have somebody who does pictures. I would have somebody who does videos. I would have a writer. I would have one person who does media ad amplification. So yep. Having six, you got to have it orchestrated. Those are five. And then you can have somebody kind of like, whether it's influencer or innovation or things like that. So that's the way I think about it.
Yeah. We need the writer is the one piece we're missing.
Add it. It matters a lot.
Oh,
add it. Yeah. Add it immediately.
Huge. Huge.
To me, the writer is the one I would start with.
Oh, we went backwards.
It's okay. You can go backwards and I might not necessarily be right, but I can tell you right now, you definitely want to have a writer.
Right. Yeah. What do you see coming up on the horizon that people need to be paying attention to? Social media, marketing.
Audio. Clubhouse.
What?
Clubhouse.
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 What is the, I don't even know what that is.
It's a app that's been around for about a year that is gaining a ton of steam, and it's, I'll show it to you in real time. This is fun. You know, I have to get into new patterns now that I do these kind of keynotes. So here it is. You go into Clubhouse, and what it does is it's got a bunch of rooms going on right now, right? Mm-hmm. Where people are just talking. So I'll give you a presentation. Here's one. Real estate agents and brokers. Just, it's people in rooms, right? Cannabis industry, right? Influencer marketing from agency point of view, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. So you open the room.
Don't say that. Don't say it's trash. We're all just growing and learning in the process of getting better day by day like everybody else. So if you want to be in me, you can send it to me. I'll be happy to give you some pro bono advice on it.
Just so people are talking.
So it's like a webinar.
But it's people talking with each other.
5,000 click-throughs, that's incredible.
So it's multiple people.
All talking together?
There's a, I'll show you again.
So you're doing something right.
Right, so it's, these are the people that are talking, and then down here are all the people
that answer your question for you.
Are listening.
Yeah, got it.
No problem. AJ, you are up next. How can we, what is your question?
Wow.
Hey, guys. So I'm a TikTok.
So I know you, I've heard you talk about, you know, how COVID has changed your whole world, how you operate, because you're not flying everywhere and you're doing more of this. Has that been good for you? Do you like that?
I love it.
It's given you more time, hasn't it?
Yeah. Family time, personal time, workout time. My muscles are up, you know, sleep. I don't see myself going back to a 6 hour, 7 hour sleep. I think I'm going to be pushing more 7-8 versus 6-7. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I travel a lot and I do early flights, and that's where I get into 6 and 5 land. Mm-hmm. But now, since I can do a meeting in the morning when I wake up in Dallas, Zoom wise, instead of back in the office, I used to fly, take a 6 a.m. so I could shower and do a meeting. I would shower in the Equinox and then do a meeting in my office. You know, now I'm going to change everything. I'm going to do the meeting in my hotel room in Dallas, put a little in my Keurig, be chill, get some sleep, then head to the office, to the airport, do my meeting on my phone, right? Yeah. Being very productive, take a nice little flight. Like it's been a huge benefit. And oh, by the way, I'm going to love when I go back to the flight grind. Like they're both good. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for COVID because it gave people a lot of context, and I hope it taught people things.
Yeah, yeah. What's the biggest problem you see in small business?
The biggest. Parents and grandparents not giving the next generation the freedom to fail or to succeed, and then creating dynamics between the family that tend to end up not devastating, but definitely scars. Mm-hmm. And so my big advice to grandpa, grandma, mom, dad is give the kid the chance, but when they fail, show them that they failed, and let them eat that humble pie and then take things back. What most parents and grandparents do in small businesses is they don't allow.
Right.
My big concept is put them in jail after they screw up. Don't start with them on a leash.
Oh.
It's a huge difference. Communism puts you into what my parents grew up in, puts you in a cage and doesn't let you do things. America lets you do things, and when you fuck up, they put you in the cage.
Right.
Parents and grandparents are so scared to let go of the power and the control, or to have the kid screw up, whoever that kid is. Sometimes the kid's 40, by the way, as we all know with family. That's the biggest mistake I see. The family business dynamic, the elder statesman is playing too much defense, which ultimately leads to lack of upside and often downside in relationship.
Yeah. Well, Gary, this is Chris Shank. He's joining me. He's going to bring some questions from our audience.
He's also brought some serious handsomeness.
Yes, he thanks for giving it to him and not to me.
Listen, I keep it straight around here, bro. I keep it straight.
Okay. He also brings the guns, so you know.
I love it.
All right, let's
he's like next.
Getting shy.
We'll ask some of the audience questions here. They've been waiting. So first question is, how do you build a team to support you, and what are the top three hires?
You know, I need a follow-up, unfortunately, question, because the question, for me to really understand and give the right answer, you know, I need to know what the agenda is, right? It's a pretty broad question. But I would say one quick thing. I love this sentence. When you realize that you're hiring people that you support versus hiring people to support you, something magical happens. I genuinely think I work for everybody that works for me. Mm. I swear to God. I am in charge of putting you in a position to succeed. And if you're failing, I did not put you into a system that made you succeed. That is on me. Mm. It's a big mind shift. And then as far as the three people, I don't know if they're talking about producing content for an executive, if they're talking about selling direct to consumer. I would need some clarity, but I will say this. You need a math person and you need an art person. Mm. You always need a math person and you always need an art person. And I think people miss that. We broke down math and art, right? Six people, but a bare minimum, two for sure.
Mm. I like that. Okay, somebody asks, what do you do about your weaknesses?
I surround myself with people who like it and are good at it. I spend zero time. That's not true. I try to get my, if let's say I'm very weak at something, if I'm a natural one at it, being interested in looking at my taxes, you know, I'm a one. But naturally, that's how I came out as a 20-year-old, right? I got to a five to not be a complete mess. And then I hired aggressively a bunch of 8, 9, 10s to make sure everything's okay.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. The other question here, why has Instagram fizzled?
I don't think it's fizzled. I think it will. And I think I think it's a fair question. There's alternatives. Snap and TikTok are doing well, right? So there's a little bit of that, but it hasn't fizzled. Its organic reach has gone down for a lot of people because so many people are on it. Things get mature. It's like social networks are like clubs. They get hot, and some clubs like Tao in New York are so good they last for a long time. Facebook, by the way. Hmm. Other clubs are red hot for 2 years in New York and then shut down. Vine, for example.
Yep.
Other clubs get hot, get cooled a little bit, and get hot again. Snapchat. Hmm. So, you know, all the TikTok right now is it's the hot club.
Hmm. Yeah, nice. Okay, so if you were today put in the shoes of a painting business owner with limited resources, what would you choose to do first so you can spend more time doing what makes you happy?
What makes you happy within the business or what makes you happy outside the business?
I'm guessing outside. We talk a lot about living the life you love. And so I think that they want more time for that. That's a good distinction.
I would give minority equity and bonuses to my right hand. Hmm. You can't get your employees to love your business as much as you unless it's their business too. Hmm. Everyone's looking for this secret, passive, scalable, like it's ludicrous. Like you want, like, what are you gonna do? Hire a great manager who then what, after 5 years resents you because you're golfing all the time? Give up some equity, then you'll get people to care as much as you do. Hmm. I have a funny feeling if you're number two Sal, you gave 5 points of the company to and a bonus of 5% profit distributions at the end of the year, miraculously, he would care more, do more, and give you that extra weekend or two you're looking for. Hmm. There's a lot of selfishness in business owning, right? Hmm. This is why, again, I really like how you guys just reacted. Like, this is why I want to do these kind of keynotes still in my career. Because I know three people just heard something that's going to change their life. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. They're going to give 10% to their OG number one right-hand man or woman. It's actually going to secretly make them feel good because they know that person's been there for 13 years and done right by them. they're going to have a smart conversation with them and saying like, look, I want to go into the next chapter of my life and I want to spend 20 to 30, 40 days a year more in my personal life. My kids this, my kids that, second marriage, who the heck knows, right? Yeah. But I'm going to give you 10% of the business and we're going to give you 10% of the profits at the end of the year above and beyond your salary. Are you ready to take on this responsibility? By the way, sometimes it's not Sal, it's Susan, the number three, who's a little younger or might be older, but hungrier. But that's what I would do.
Yeah. Wow.
I forgot a question that it's really important that we asked. This is actually my favorite question that I got from anybody. This is more of an industry question for us. How does an entire industry with a bad rep shift its brand?
By individuals within it moving the needle. We're not gonna get all the cattle on this call aligned that we're gonna change our perception. We're gonna need 16 individuals to act in a way that gets awareness and elevates the story.
Mm-hmm. Kind of love that he just said that.
Yeah, that fits nicely.
that one's quotable, Gary.
Is that because that's what you feel you're up to?
Well, our tagline is elevate the trade.
That's the theme of this conference. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do.
I think that's great. I think that's awesome. And I think that an entrepreneur 30 years ago was considered a loser.
Yeah.
It was somebody who didn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago, that term was, oh, that's a loser.
Wasn't cool. Wasn't cool at all.
Wasn't cool. When I'm 45, when I was a bad student and didn't go to a good college, that was bad. Now people think it's cool. Like things change. So if the industry can change on a dime, AKA a decade of good behavior.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
No, absolutely. Do you have any other questions for him?
I have a question that I'd like to ask.
Go.
Somebody quoted you, or it's probably close to something you said. They were talking about company culture, and they said that you were talking about if you want to change company culture, you have to basically appreciate it or love it more than you love money, or want it more than you want money, something like that. I just wonder if you could speak to that, because it sounded amazing, but entrepreneurs and business owners, you're after money. That's what a lot of people into business. Okay.
But I'd rather make an $80,000 profit this year and have everybody pumped than $130,000 this year and a crack in the armor, because that means next year I'm going to make $160,000 and everyone's pumped. And the next year I'm going to make $490,000 and then 2.6. Culture always wins in the end. So it's not that I am delusional and not paying my bills and I'd like to make some profit.
Right.
It's that I don't make every decision from a financial point of view. Hey, Gary, this person that we just had to let go because they were underperforming, their mother's sick. I wanted you to know that. These are emails I get. I reply, let's give them an extra month of severance. Now, that person may or may not tell any, we fired them. They might not tell anybody about that, or they may. I'm actually completely don't give a shit. I just know the karma of it will work itself out. I also know somebody may say to Don on the last day, hey, sorry, last day, you know, fuck this place. And be like, no, you should hear what Gary did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got it?
Yeah.
How many total employees do you have now, roughly?
You know, we're hiring so quickly. I think we're over 1,000 now in VaynerX. You know, VaynerMedia probably has 700-800. Gallery Media Group, which is like 137 PM, and Pure Wow probably has $100-150. Vayner Commerce is like 30-40. Sasha Group, Singapore, London, like we're moving. By the way, something that we didn't talk about was SMS marketing, texting. I don't know if any of you are really into wine, but I stood up something for my dad 18 months ago called Wine Text, Wine, T-E-X-T. Please check, if you're buying wine on the internet, definitely check it out. But people should check it out, because there's texting is starting to get really interesting. And I highly recommend people start thinking about SMS as a marketing tool. Not spamming people, because nobody wants that.
Right.
But like, what if you stood up a service where people could ask you home improvement questions and you just answer? Like, give value. Brand gets built. You start to see I play in the gray. Got it? I play in the gray. The black and white's easy. I understand if you sell it for this. It's just like, everyone's so robotic. Real life happens in the humanity of the gray.
That's so good. Yeah. I heard through the grapevine that you might have another book coming out.
Yes. Thank you. Clearly somebody's in my secret texting community.
That might just be me.
I love you for that. That's I texted to my community, 212-931-5731 if you want to be a part of it. Yep, I'm working on something really good. I'm really excited about it. I think this could be a big one.
Awesome.
And ironically, and it'll be fun for you when you see what the book's about and you rewatch what we just did here, we touched on it quite a bit here.
Hmm. Wow. Gary, I know you've got a tight time frame, and I just want to thank you so much for giving to our community and for really having a great big impact on my life. And we'll just continue watching and learning and taking massive action.
Yeah. I'm very humbled. I really appreciate you two men and this whole community. Have a wonderful 2021, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. You did a great job. You're really, really strong at that. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Taught Me You Don't Have to Be a Tycoon by Johnny Pepa. Gary V has redefined for me what it means to be a business person. Used to think you had to be overwhelmingly win-lose to be hyper-successful. Gary V podcast has shown me heart, humility, and compassion can accompany awesome results. I hope he buys the Jets. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.